Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counsellor? Or who has ever first given to him and has to be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning, Winston Hills. My name is JJ. I'm one of the Joshes on staff at Northmead. Sometimes people get a little confused about the fact that we have two Joshes on staff. But just to clear it up, one, I don't have the faux British accent. So when you meet the other one, that's probably the best way to distinguish between us, particularly when you call the office and you're wondering who it is. I'll do my best. But just to avoid all confusion, I call myself JJ. So it's nice and simple about who I am. Joshua Johnston's my last name. Hopefully that makes sense. We're going to be finishing our series today looking at the glory of God alone as we finish this series, Truths Worth Dying For. But let's pray to our God before we do that. Let's talk to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mighty, spectacular, powerful word. And we pray now that as we come to look at your glory and your glory alone, that our lives might be dedicated to you, that our hearts now might be ready to be changed, and ears that are switched on and keen to hear your wonderful truths about who you are, what you have done, and what you will do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this morning we're finishing our series in the great Reformation truths, the great principles that came out of this part of church history, the alones. And the topic this morning is the glory of God alone. But I really want to look at one verse in particular, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Which says, you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We will briefly look at Romans 11 that we had read out, but I want to spend a lot of our time looking at this idea of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is talking about Christians ought to be pure, how Christians ought to flee sexual immorality, flee idolatry, flee from worldliness, but to use their bodies, use their lives to only do what is pleasing and glorifying to God. And so there is this specific context to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but I want to say that this principle that we read here, this broad principle, really underlies and underpins a lot of the New Testament. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God. And I want to spend some time looking at each part of this verse in turn. So firstly, you are not your own. That's pretty stark language, isn't it? But it's nonetheless the key theme of the Bible. As we look through, as we read God's word, time and time again, we read, we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves. We are His. We are His people. We are His creations. He's His creatures. He made us. More than that, He sustains us. Our very life is in His hands. We are His handiwork. We are His, says the Bible. In Psalm 139, the writer gets this when he says, for you have created my inward beings. Inward parts, sorry. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. Now, I think it's easy for people to look at how amazing human beings are and praise human beings, as if somehow we exist because we made it happen. Somehow it's to our credit that we can run and speak and create things. And the fact that we are amazingly designed, and we are, because did you know that there are 120,000 kilometers of blood vessels crammed inside you right now, and at least 50 trillion cells? And if the DNA of from a single human cell was stretched out, it would measure about 6 feet in length. So if all the DNA contained in all the cells of a single human being was stretched out and laid end to end, it would stretch all the way from the moon and back 8,000 times. We're amazing. And if you saw something that stunning in a gallery, if you saw some, heard some incredible piece of music, you would instinctively ask, wouldn't you, who created it? And if someone had told you this incredible piece of art or this music had just come together by itself without any author, would you believe them? The Bible unashamedly says that we were created by God. We are wonderfully designed to the praise of our Maker. And to make something means that you really own something. You have ownership over that thing. Something that it's mine, I created it. I decide what you do with it. I can give it to someone. I can sell it to someone. But it's mine. I know for a fact that my mum still has some flat, big lump of clay in her house somewhere that I made in preschool. And she loves it. But I know that when I made it, it was a plate. It just looks like a big clump of fish. I know. But if I were to get something, nail it together and whack some pieces of wood together, or I create a song or I create a cartoon character, it's mine. I make something, I own it. And in the same way, we do not belong to ourselves. We do not own ourselves. Our life is not ours to do with as we wish, but rather we to do with what God wishes. Our Creator, your mind, your thoughts, your heart, your body does not belong to you. You are not your own. And this is fundamentally what it means to be a Christian. We willingly hand over our lives. We've entrusted our lives to God. We've handed the reins over to Him. We've handed control over. We've handed over possession of our lives to God. He has the keys to our heart. He knows the password. He has the PIN number. It's all His. Christian life is a life of surrender. It's a life of submission. Now, I don't think that means that we have somehow become inactive. I don't think that means we somehow live these passive lives. I don't think that's what the Bible means when it says you are not your own, that you sit back and you do nothing. Or you try to avoid the real world that's around us so your actions have no consequence or they don't mean anything. No, that's not what it says. On the contrary, history is full of Christian men and women who have done and achieved great things for God. They have lived and worked. They have sacrificed. They have journeyed. They have proclaimed. They have suffered. They have died for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the gospel, precisely because they got that their life was not their own. There was a man called Hugh Latimer. Latimer was a bishop in the Church of England during the Reformation. And after King Edward died, who was the son of Henry VIII, Henry's eldest daughter, Mary, who was devout Roman Catholic, and she hated the reformers because of what they kind of had been their part in kind of getting her mum marriage annulled to Henry and kicked out. She really didn't like the reformers. And so she started trying to reverse the entire Reformation. And one of her big moves was to get those men who were in charge of the Reformation in England, get them, destroy them, and hopefully the whole thing would just crumble and fall apart. And so she arrested and locked up Latimer with fellow bishops Nicholas Ridley and Thomas Cranmer. And Latimer and Ridley, they were put on trial, they were sentenced to death, and Mary had Latimer and Ridley tied together and burnt at the stake. And she made sure the executioner used green wood. Now to us, we're like, green wood, who cares? But what that does is it doesn't produce any smoke, which means you're not knocked out before you get burnt to death. And so she wanted to make their death as painful and as slow as possible. And Latimer is quoted. He's quoted as saying, as they kind of lit the flames, he says to Ridley, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust, shall never be put out." So here is a man who believed in these Reformation truths that we've been talking about, that mattered so much to him that he thought they were worth dying for. Latimer was a man that got that his life, it was not his own. He got that he belonged to God. He trusted God implicitly. He trusted God with his money. He trusted God with his family. He trusted God with his life. He trusted God with his death. You are not your own. It's such a mind shift, isn't it? You see, I think sometimes we can wonder, why on earth am I here? Really, why am I here? What's the purpose in my life? Well, you have a purpose, but it's not about you. Fundamentally, we are made by God and for God. Our purpose is far greater. It is infinitely more glorious than our ambitions, than our dreams and desires, than our own happiness, than our own peace of mind. You see, we have a greater calling. We have a great purpose for our lives, bigger than us. We exist for God. God does not exist for us. See, this church is not actually about us. The Bible is primarily not about us. The world, the universe, history is not about us. We saw that in the Romans reading, didn't we, that we had read out. We saw that all things are made from God and for Him. See, everything has been made by God. He gave us our first breath and He is going to give you your next one. His knowledge is deep. His judgments are good, says Paul. Which of us in this world could possibly give counsel to God? Who has given first to God, the one who gives us all things? He gives us life and salvation. He gives us forgiving and blessing. He gives us peace and joy and satisfaction. But all of these things that He gives is not for our sake. All of this is for the glory of God forever. That's what it means for us to be united in Jesus. We look forward to the day when all things will be united in Jesus and under Him. See, that's our purpose. That is why you and I are here. Our lives are not our own. They're not about us. That's humbling, isn't it? In fact, I think some people might find that damn right offensive. What do you mean it's not my own? Of course I am. In fact, saying that I'm not my own, doesn't that make me out to be a slave? If someone else owns me, isn't that just slavery? Well, yes, actually, it does mean that. But you know what? In this upside-down thinking of the Bible, to stand and to say that we are slaves of God, to say that we are God's possession, to be able to say we are His and not our own, is actually something worth boasting about. That is something worth rejoicing about and living for. You see, the apostles, the very first Christians, happily called themselves God's slaves. Most translations of the Bible don't use the word slave because, well, it just sounds bad, doesn't it? But in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the Christians, they're gathered together. They've been persecuted by those around them. They've been persecuted by the guy Saul or Paul, the apostle Paul, before he was the apostle Paul. And they pray to God, despite the threats against their lives, that God will enable them to continue to be His slaves, to continue to speak with boldness, that they might do His will, that they might live their lives for Him. The great apostle Paul, the man who actually had this massive impact on human history. Romans 1 verse 1, he says, I am a slave of Christ. The apostle Peter, who God handed the church to, Christ handed the church to after He ascended. He says, I am a slave of Christ. James, the brother of Jesus, says, I am a slave of Christ. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves because of Jesus. See, that's the message of the gospel. This is the heart and the mind of the Christian. We are slaves of God. And so therefore, as slaves of God, as God's people, we do everything for Jesus' sake. See, if we're happy to say that Jesus is our Lord, then we must accept what that truth applies. Then we must accept that whole truth. If Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master, then we are His servants. We are His slaves. We are His. He is our Lord. We do what we do for His sake. We are what we are for His sake, for His glory and for His pleasure. He is our glorious Lord and King. He is our Almighty God, the Son of God. He commands our destinies in every way. We are His. You are not your own. Now, we're talking about being slaves of God. But in the gospel, Paul actually says we're actually called to be free. But how does that work? Well, I want to say freedom that is offered in the gospel is freedom to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Freedom is found in being like Jesus. See, the one who was equal to God, but made himself nothing. He became a servant, became a slave. He became obedient even to death. He was truly the only free man who ever lived on this earth. And his freedom was expressed how? It's expressed in serving us. So Paul in Galatians 5 is very clear on this. For Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. To the yoke of slavery of sin. To the yoke of slavery of the law. To the yoke of slavery of your own fleshly desires. Paul says, you are free. But do not use that freedom, he says, to indulge in the sinful nature. That's just slavery. Jesus says, the one who sins is a slave to sin. That was us. We were slaves to sin. But we have been set free from slavery by Jesus Christ. So stand firm, says Paul. Be free. And what does Christian freedom look like? Well, Galatians 5, verse 13. Do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. See, this is true freedom. This is to live as we were meant to live as we were created to live lives as we were saved to live, free from being oppressed and obsessed with ourselves, our own desires and wants, from being slaves to the kingdom of darkness, free to be God's own possessions. You are not your own. But if we're God's possessions because we were made by him, then even more so in the next bit that we read in 1 Corinthians 6. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So you have been paid and bought for. And here, of course, Paul is talking about the cross. We belong to God because he bought us. He paid the price of his own son, Jesus Christ. We are his. We are his, but we became lost. We wandered away. We become enslaved to sin. But Christ bought us back. And the price that he paid was his blood. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We were redeemed and ransomed. We were purchased with the perfect blood of Christ. And that makes Christians, that makes you officially the most expensive items in the universe. No amount of gold or silver or just cold hard cash could have paid the price to win us back to God. God proves his own love in this. Not because we were lovable, but as Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God proves his own love that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus paid the price. And I've got to say, doesn't that knowledge of how much God has done for you, doesn't that add worth and purpose to your life that far outweighs your career, the home in which you own, your success, your relationships, how tall you are, how funny you are? Who cares? Because you are loved by God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God. See, that's the reason for our being. That's the reason we exist, that we glorify God, our glorious God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. The way that we worship God, the way that we praise God, the way that we glorify God is by presenting our bodies, our lives to him as living sacrifices. We exist for his pleasure and for his glory. We were created for God's pleasure and for God's glory. We are saved for his pleasure and for his glory. So let us live lives for his pleasure and for his glory, that he might be praised. See, over the last few weeks, we've been working through these great Reformation truths and slogans, haven't we? Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone. And in the end, the alone really matters. Because people say grace is good, but work hard and you can earn it for yourself. Faith is a good thing to have, but you can find other ways to God. I mean, Scripture is awesome. I love it. But you can work it out for yourself. Christ is pretty handy, but let's add to his work. There's no adding to it. It's alone. But fundamentally, all these things, all they do is give glory where glory is due. Because salvation is by Christ and Christ alone. See, there is no other Savior in this world. There is no one else who you can rely on to save you. No one who shares in his glory, for he alone died for our sins. He alone was raised that we might have eternal life. He alone can stand before God and reconcile you to him, because he alone paid the price to make us right. Salvation is there for by grace alone. It's by the unconditional, undeserved love and generosity of God. We cannot share this glory by claiming to add to our salvation. Grace alone means the glory of God alone. And faith alone acknowledges this. It's only by trusting Jesus that we are saved. It's only by being committed to him that we can take hold of this salvation, to the glory of God alone. And in the end, this salvation is revealed by Scripture alone. We don't work this out for ourselves. You're not a Christian here this morning because you are smarter than other people in the world, or because you're greater than other people in the world. No, you didn't work this truth out for yourself. It is revealed by God's word alone, the Bible. To God alone be the glory in creating us, in saving us, in upholding us, in speaking to us, in working in us and through us. To the glory belongs all to God. And as human beings, we might be tempted to grasp onto this glory for ourselves. We might be tempted to live for our own glory. But you are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much. We thank you so much for the wonderful truths that were discovered once again in your word 500 years ago. And we do thank you that they point all to your glory. We pray that we will remember this truth, that we are not our own, that we were bought at a price, and help us to glorify you in all we do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.